Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Games Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Sad Boy Barrett, a.k.a. CEO Junior, Barrett Courtney. Hello, Barrett.
Hi, Greg. This is the first time I've been introduced as CEO Junior properly on a show, so thank you for that. Thank
you. It's about time you got
the recognition I deserve.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? You've earned that title. You're ready, in the case I go down, you're ready to step up. Yep. I appreciate
the of power of Mario Party, you know.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Even though, again, I don't, that Kinda Funny podcast yesterday, Roger angling for your job, dressing the way he dresses now.
Yeah, I don't like that you were on Twitter this morning being like, Roger for CEO, without consulting me, CEO Junior, about
it. Well, you know, I like to stoke the fires. If we're all friends around here, it's too boring.
You're just trying to pit the Young Bucks against each other so you can stay on top.
Succession is ending. There needs to be a real...
Watched episode 3 last night.
What'd you think? No spoilers?
This is season one, episode three.
Okay.
I started it when I was in LA to preview Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which we'll talk about more today, because of all the hype surrounding it. So yeah, episode 3, fun time. Watch the thing that you referenced with the jerking off onto the window
Roman.
There. Yeah. So yeah. That was an interesting time.
I'm glad you did the whole pantomime for it too. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kinda Funny Games Cast each and every week for sometimes two best friends gather on this table to come talk about all the things they love and sometimes don't love in video games. Usually we have a whole crew. We usually have a whole bunch of people here. This is where we do the reviews. This is where we do the previews and stuff like that. But today we're actually doing the Star Wars Jedi Survivor spoiler cast.
Ooh.
So if you have wandered in here, don't worry. I'm not jumping right into spoilers. We are basically saying, hey, this is the episode for once you've beaten Star Wars Jedi Survivor, come on back and you can listen to us talk about Cal's adventure. We have so many questions from you. We have a bunch of people in the chat over here ready to go. Shout out to Jake Stepp. I just finished this game 15 minutes ago. That's how crazed he was for this spoiler.
Hell yeah.
I got to finish it before I get in there.
Shout out to Kevin, who also like burned through it in the last couple of days just to be, you know, not spoiled while he directed
this episode. BKD, I'm excited to get you're as fresh as the unplowed snow. You know what I mean? Pure as the undriven snow. That's what I was looking for. I didn't get there in time. But I'll tell you what. We are going to plow you, Kevin. I want to know what you thought about this in a second, all right? But before then, I will remind you that the Kinda Funny Games cast goes up each and every week on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. And, of course, podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, please consider liking it, subscribing to it, rating it on Spotify, leaving a review in iTunes. All that helps us get these episodes to more people. And of course, if you like what we do at Kinda Funny, it would mean the world to us if you went to patreon.com/kindafunny. Over there for a few bucks, of course, you can get every episode of the Games Cast and all our other podcasts ad-free. Of course, you can watch us record them live, just like Jake is, like Cameron is, like Maddie J for life is. Of course, you could also get a whole bunch of bonus content, exclusive merch, all sorts of cool stuff, all on patreon.com/kindafunny. I digress, though. No matter where you're getting the show, thank you. Consider using the creator code kindafunny on the Epic Game Store when you're checking out or when you're buying stuff in Fortnite, Rocket League, or whatever on your consoles. Housekeeping for you. This episode,
yes,
the spoiler cast for Survivor is going up on May 4th,
yes.
Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Yep.
That's not the only piece of Star Wars content going
up that day,
all right? Instead, the crazy, goofy stream team is doing a whole stream where they're playing Survivor, which is always fun to see Nick play a game and see him, especially as much as he loves cinema, react to these moments and stuff like that. But they describe the stream, which, of course, by the time you see this will be happening, it'll be over for many of you. You'll be 30 minutes in, probably.
The time this episode pops, the Star Wars stream will be starting in half an hour, essentially.
Right, because KFW and stuff like that. Doesn't matter. If you're not catching it live on Twitch or YouTube, it's up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. And the way they've said it, it goes like this. We have all sorts of fun surprises for you, including Andy Wan Kenobi teaches Nick the Force. And where in the world is Kev2D2? Want to hear Mike Baca, the truckie, do his patented Tahoe scream? Tune in to see the boys celebrate May the 4th in Jedi Survivor.
The thing I'm most excited to learn is what the Tahoe scream is, which I can only imagine is just a really bad version of the Chewbacca.
I don't think there is anything. I think this was Nick just sitting there trying to write a description. He came up with
it. Believe it or not, these are all very thought out things that we put
I saw a test run of some kind for Kev2D2 today. Oof. And I was like, that is guaranteed views right there. That is what the people will want to see. Of course, if you're checking in later, like I said, also on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames under our streams and live stuff we've done over there. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Honey and Rocket Money, but we'll talk about that later. For now, officially, the gloves are off. We are going into full spoilers for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. This is your chance to lean over, turn off the MP3 player, you know? Take the bong out of your mouth and turn off the MP3 player. Is that how you bong? I don't even know.
Sure.
Beer bong. It was a beer bong.
Oh, beer bong. Okay.
Now, you took a deep... What do you got?
So, I wanted to start this off, a little bit inspired by what we do with In Review, but mostly inspired... mostly inspired by a recent podcast obsession of mine, A More Civilized Age, which is hosted by Rob Zachney, Austin Walker, Ali Acampora, and Natalie Watson, where they primarily, as a podcast, have been watching through the Clone Wars, Star Wars show, and breaking down kind of arc by arc, talking about this show in the greater context of where the political landscape was for America at the time when the show was coming out, when the prequels were coming out. And for each episode where they primarily will cover like an arc of the show, they'll kind of start off with a kind of top-down overview, very quick kind of synopsis of what the arc was about. And I think And I think it'll be a good way for kind of us to start off as well, just because I don't know how long it's been since you've rolled credits.
Sure.
I have a really bad time of even if I've played something 2 days ago and rolled credits, there's still so many details.
What was that thing? Like?
Yeah, exactly. So
for
I thought
me,
it would be...
The way people talk about this game, trying not to spoil stuff, where it's just like, yeah, I'm at the Shattered Moon again. I'm like, you're there like 15 times. I don't know which time we're talking. And then like the kid who wrote in on Games Daily, like, somebody with a hammer just slammed. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So I thought I would start off with a quick synopsis or overview of what the plot is. Our adventure begins 5 years after Fallen Order, where Cal and BD-1 are no longer running with the rest of the Mantis crew, but now are taking jobs from Saw Gerrera to fight against the Empire. During a job on Coruscant, Cal learns how much reach the Empire truly has to face off against the believed to be dead Ninth Sister of the Inquisitors. The job leaves Cal's rebel crew to be killed other than himself and the charming newbie himbo buff boy, Bo Dacuna. When Cal needs the Mantis repaired after the job, he visits Grease Dridus on Kobo. During his time on Kobo, Cal unearths relics from the era of the High Republic, including a Jedi who turns dark side named Dagon Gera, who is living proof that the rumored planet Tantalor is in fact real and could be a safe haven from the Empire. We then kick off the true plot of this game, which is the race to Tantalor. The competitors, Dagon versus Cal, and versus the Empire a little bit, even though they are very unaware that they are playing. Cal, BD, Grease, and Bode meet up with the rest of the old Mantis gang, Marin and Seer, and even assumed dead Jedi, Eno Cordova.
Out of fucking nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
I was like, he's still
awesome
alive?
Moment. We'll talk about that. On Jedha, to get help on reaching Tantalor, Seer, Marin, and Cordova all see the planet as a possible new base for the Hidden Path, an underground group helping surviving Jedi / Force users find protection from the Empire. In the middle of all of this, Cal's personal journey sees him being challenged on whether or not the teachings of the Jedi are what he truly needs during this era under Imperial rule. Using blasters that were frowned upon by his master, and even embracing attachments in the form of starting a romantic relationship with goth icon Marin. During all of this as well, Cal looks for keys that will help him get past the Kobo Abyss to Tantalor, bringing him to old High Republic ruins, a haunted moon, and an old Separatist battleship where he and Bode have to rescue Z, a droid from the High Republic era who served the Jedi Order. Their journey comes to a head when all three factions, Cal and his team, Dagon and the Bedlam Raiders, and the Empire, who are just kind of there and very clueless to the MacGuffin of this story, are all very close to finding the key to get them past the Kobo Abyss to Tantalor. Cal and Bode, aka Buff Solo, fight through repurposed battle droids and stormtroopers alike until they face Dagon one last time, resulting in a very trippy force battle that ends with Dagon's death. The antagonist of the game is gone, but the vibes are immediately off. Cal has no more competition left to get to Tanlord, but Bode questions if they should really use it as a base for the hidden path. Fearing that the Empire will inevitably find it, he would much rather have the planet personally to keep his loved ones safe, like his daughter. That then comes to a head when they return to the rest of the crew on Jedha, and Bode reveals himself to be, eventually, not right in this moment, we learn that he is an ISB undercover agent and a former Jedi.
You're not the only one who survived.
Who runs away with the key to get to Tanalore after killing Cordova and tells the Empire of the Hidden Path's base on Jedha. Cal runs after Bode but is knocked out after they fight, and Bode gets away, all while the base of the Hidden Path is bombarded by the Empire, resulting in a terrifying and epic battle between Seer and Darth Vader, which results in the death of Seer. We then see Cal, Marin, and Grease go on a chase for Bode to try and retrieve the key to Tanalore before Bode uses it for his daughter and himself to never be seen nor heard from again. This leads them to a secret ISB base where Bode's daughter is living, and after Cal meets her and again fails to capture Bode, battles with the dark side of the Force in the form of using his slowed-down Force ability to strengthen himself even more. Marin is concerned for Cal, and he recognizes that it's not something he likes battling against. Bode and his daughter are long gone, and all hope for Tanalore is lost, but Centauri Kree, a High Republic Jedi scientist, had one more secret way of getting to Tanalore that the crew discovers and makes their way to the safe haven. There, Marin and Cal battle Bode while trying not to kill him in an attempt to let Bode redeem himself for his daughter. Bode refuses to let up in fear for her safety, which pushes Cal to use the dark side again to fight back and eventually strike down another Jedi who lost their way. The story ends with the Mantis crew semi-adopting Bode's daughter, holding a funeral for the fallen Jedi, and looking towards an unsure path forward in hopes of still making Tanalore a home for those who want a free life from the Empire. Greg, I turn it to you now. I've been talking a lot. Where do you want to start in breaking down Cal and BD's second big grand adventure?
Where I honestly want to start is with Big Kev Dog.
Ooh.
You and I have beaten it. You and I were on the review. We both gave it a 5 out of 5, right? You gave it a 5 out of 5? Did we ever have
On the Gamescast, I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Grade. Okay. You standing by that? Or are you coming up to the 5 out of 5 with me now?
I'm staying at the 4 out of 5.
Fair. Kevin, what did you think? I want a fresh take from you.
Hey, Barrett's crazy. This is a 5 out of 5.
That's my man!
Sure.
That's my man!
What teeny? I love this game. I had such a good time. The exploration and the worlds that they put us in are incredible, and I just kept getting lost in trying to figure out different paths of where I can go and finding little goodies, and it was so much fun. I think that, unfortunately, running this spoiler cast made it so that I definitely felt like I need to finish
the game
before.
You had to go, yeah.
And that's kind of a bummer because, like, I want to say probably the last quarter, maybe a little less than that, maybe the last 20%, I was kind of just streamlining and, you know. But I had explored so much that I kind of already put myself in a good position where it's like one of the last things you have to do is climb this giant mountain, but I had already done it, so I could just fast travel to it and keep the story going there. But I had so much fun. I love this game. I love the new stances that they introduce.
You're one of the few who I heard you liked the big boy, right?
Yeah, the heavy sword and the gun blaster were my, once I got them I was like, I'm gonna fully commit. And you get one chance to restructure everything
for free,
and I at that point kind of had put it everywhere but restructured it and just put it into those two.
Nice.
And like I was having such a good time with the gameplay.
Lighter writes in and asks a two-parter. Where I'll start is his second part, but what his question is that I think is relevant for us right now is what's everyone's favorite fighting stance. And for me, I talked a little bit about it in the review, but now that we're a little bit more and you go into it, I for a long time was maining double blade, which I hate because I don't like the look of the double blade for my Cal. It's just not what I want. But it was, I found, giving me, as I was easing back into combat, trying to get my sea legs again, it gave me the best defense and yada yada. But like I said, I eventually ran into I could say it now, but it wasn't even like remarkable. It was, I guess maybe it was the first fight with big old hentai man and his regrown arms. Where I was like, Reyes thing. I was like, this is taking too long. I'm not doing enough damage. I'm struggling, and I don't think I should be. So I reset it all just to single lightsaber. And once I did that, I never looked back. And I just kept, I poured everything max that out and had that. And I never really used the other stances.
Yeah, the blaster stance I liked and played with for a little bit. I liked the blaster and lightsaber combo. He kind of like makes it, uses the lightsaber as like he's fencing a little bit, which I enjoyed. I did not like the heavy stance whatsoever. Yeah. I like, they kind of have you go through a very short tutorial with it of like, hey, get used to it. But then once I was able to like kind of switch off to it, I think in the second half of the game is where I really found my footing of like what stances I like, which was the dual wield and then the double blade as well.
Gotcha.
Because double blade I like for crowd control, and then dual wield I thought was a good kind of mix of it felt good to play. It felt, like I said in my preview, very methodical. I think it just gave just enough power like over just like the single saber that I liked it a bit more than the single saber, but yeah, that's mainly what I ran with. But I feel like it's a boring answer, but yeah.
Go ahead, cool, Kev. Though.
Well, I was just gonna say that like I think that my the heavy lightsaber mixed with the gun like was like whenever I was with crowds, it did make the gameplay difficult because there is no good crowd control there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I made it work. At that point, I had fully committed. I wasn't gonna move around everything, so I was just like, "It's fine. I'll just power through." And eventually, I do think if I had switched to one of the dual lightsabers or the double sided lightsaber, that could have been easier.
For sure, yeah. But then it's that thing of like, you know, I feel like you grind for a while with one, you get really good, you get in a flow with it.
Yeah.
So like last night, you know, leading into this, I'm like, after Redfall reviews out of the way, it was like, oh, let's switch back over to Star Wars. And I was like, you know, it falls in an interesting place. We're recording this on Wednesday. I was like, okay, cool. I only get one night with it, but I really want to try to platinum it before Zelda. Mm-hmm. What do I really need to knock out? And you're like, Bounty Hunters. I would do the Bounty Hunters if I were you.
Oh, yeah. We got to.
We'll get into the spoiler part of that. Yeah. But like, just in general, for what we're talking about with stances, it felt so good to go back like against those guys of like, right, I am good at this game. Because I kind of felt in the buildup to some of those bosses, like, again, on a time crunch of trying to get to review of going through Vader, going to Bode, like, doing all things. I'm like, oh, I'm getting my head kicked in at times. And it's like, granted, it's 11:30. I'm exhausted, and I just want to get it done, but I'm worried about the review and yada, yada. Like, just last night, getting up and going against, like, crowds and monsters, and I'm like, fuck you guys, I'm awesome.
Especially, like, once you roll credits and then you get, like, the really souped up slowdown ability.
Where everything
turns red and Cal, like, you don't even really get access to any of the stances. He's just using the single blade and he's just wailing on people. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you guys use that a fair amount?
Oh, once. Not, I mean, not, now that I've been doing post-credit stuff yet.
100%. There are definitely some boss fights that you need to do to platinum it. That it was just like, there's a challenge room with like, you know, there's like the legendary beast, which is his own trophy. But then there's a force tear where you have to fight three legendary beasts at once. And that was the one that I texted you of like, I don't know if I could get this platinum because this is a really tough challenge room. I did that before I got that ability, so I imagine, like, if I had that ability, that would have been easy. And, like, fighting some of the Dark Trooper robot dudes, like, definitely easy to take those. Ones. Oh, yeah.
I want to hang in a spot here, Kev, because you jumped in and said, did you guys use that a lot? I know you just beat it last night, right?
Yep.
So have you not found yourself, did you use it then, or were you like, oh, this is something I won't use? Or
Well, I mean, I thought, like, my character probably wouldn't be leaning so hard into that, but because I was in a time crunch, I was like, let's do it.
For myself, to jump off of that, I was using it a lot in the Race to the Platinum, essentially, because I was just like, I didn't need to get through this. But I will say for the story beat at the end, I was trying not to use it against Bode whatsoever, because to me, Cal isn't proud that he's like letting this go and like letting this wail on, and then eventually you do. There is a story moment where you have to use it again, and it says embrace the darkness, which is really tragic. I try to in story moments not use it because I feel like it's
many people wrote in about this, and so I'd like to get some of that going on. All right, we're gonna jump to Cameron Kennedy, who wrote in and said, "How do y'all feel about the game hinting at Cal having some more darkness in him?" It was interesting seeing that come through more in the gameplay by the end, with Cal's dark side version of the slow ability not being temporary. But he doesn't seem to reflect on still learn. He doesn't seem to reflect on still leaning into that, and there's zero downside in using it. Cal has a bit of an Aloy problem for me, where they're so laser focused on a goal that we don't get enough of their personality really coming through, unlike the characters surrounding them. But this feels like a hint that there's much more going on. Assuming these are all very deliberate story choices, where do you think they're going with Cal as a character?
Yeah, so it was this primarily when I talked about in our review where Fallen Order I felt like was so, like, almost too well written in case they didn't get greenlit for a sequel. Sure. Where like it felt like one singular story. If we never got another story with these characters, it still felt complete in a way.
Yeah.
And I talked about in our review of the ending of this game, I was like, I need the sequel as soon as possible.
Right.
Because I do feel like that's purposely kind of left unfinished of his battle with the dark side. Granted that, like, after you roll credits, the menus aren't red anymore, which I do think is a neat little touch when you, like, after he first uses it, like, all the menus are red in the background, which is, like, really, really cool. And one of the reasons I had a picture of my Cal for the review, but it was a picture with the red background. I was like, ah, I can't show this. And so, yeah, that to me feels unfinished in his journey, but not so much so like the ending of Horizon Forbidden West, right? Where there's like, hey, here's this super weird sci-fi stuff that we're going to introduce in the last third, and it's going to be the sequel. Whereas, like, I like that it feels unfinished here. It feels like I'm going to do some comparisons to Empire, but take that, like, I'm not being like this is on the same level of Empire or anything, but it feels like at the end of Empire, it feels like, even though, you know, like, it feels like a loss, right? And I feel like with Cal having this unfinished journey with the dark side, especially with how the first game ends, to me at least, him coming to terms with, like, dude, you're a good person. You don't need to, like, put all of this pressure on yourself. I like that it kind of feels like, damn, like, I don't know what your journey ahead lies for you, man. And I'm like, honestly scared for him a little bit at this point. And I'll be interested to see where that goes, especially in, like, where he kind of reconciles, but, like, has to also struggle with other Jedi teachings, right?
Yo, hold on,
like,
I want to get to that. Okay, so let me bring in this Danny Berg thing and then comment on both Cameron and Danny. Danny writes in and says, so what's the deal with the embrace the darkness mechanic? They kind of just make a big deal out of it in the Imperial base, but then you kind of use it for the rest of the game with no consequences.
Mm.
There's even a line where Cal mentions, Seer says Jedi are always facing the dark side's influence, but there doesn't seem to be any consequence for Cal tapping in whenever he wants. I guess he could be reflecting on the end, but a lot of the story elements in this game, not just the darkness, sort of felt like they were putting it onto the inevitable sequel.
Mm.
Sorry, this seems negative, but I'm having a hard time finding positive things to say about the game's story. When we talked about the game in the review and the top level thing, you know, one of the main things we got hung up on here that we got hung up on in the first one in a good way was customization.
Mm.
What my Cal looks like, what my lightsaber is, all these different things. I think that all three of us kind of just talked about it, the embrace the darkness mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was when I got it and the game ended that they would have taken it away. Oh, they didn't take it away. Okay, well, I can switch it out. Oh, I can't switch it out. It's just there.
Yep.
So every time I use it, I feel like I'm cheating. I feel like I'm taking the easy way out. And I think that's all deliberate.
Yep.
And I think that'll be a big part of what could be Cal's story going forward, or where we pick up with Cal of, again, you know, you and I talked about this early on when we were both still playing it, you know, not early on, I guess late, but before we finished it, of, you know, the conversation with Maren and being like, you know what? They didn't get it all right. The Jedi's didn't get everything right. I can have love. I can have attachment. You can go into this, right? And I think as you start to battle with that, if you're going to give up some things, are you going to give up on this other thing? You know, you're going to take the easy way, even though it is, you know, definitively the dark side. And I think the fact that we keep using it, it's there. It's like, well, it's there. I'm going to use it. I feel like it's such a thing Cal would be like, well, that's just how it is now. It's how I've tapped.
And I think maybe the where we go with Cal in the future might be finding further balance in all of that. I think a lot of this game, not entirely with where he's at with the Force and with the Jedi, but a lot of this game is kind of Cal finding balance in the universe, living under Imperial rule, right? We'll talk about them a little bit deeper, But I really like, at least on paper, I think there's definitely some failing with one of these characters. Dagon Gaara and Boda Kuna, I think, are both really great foils for Cal and his journey here. At the very beginning of the game, right, Cal's talking with Greece. He's like, yeah, we just learned how much reach the Empire has. And yeah, I've been working with Saw Gerrera, and I feel like I've accomplished nothing. And he's exhausted. And he's trying to come to terms with, like, maybe this, like, what do I keep doing if I'm not going to be able to help topple this thing? And I love with Dagon, it's, he is a man too dedicated to the cause that he loses himself. He sacrifices others that he is close to. You see, like, Force Echo memories of him just straight up killing other Jedi from the High Republic, all for this idea of the greater good, or at least his vision of the greater good, which is using Tantalor as this future base to raise the next generation of Jedi. And then you have Boda Kuna, I think, a man who is so willing to only fight for his loved ones, being able to risk the idea of the greater good. And I think Cal's struggle, not fully related to the Force, but just his place in all of this in the era of the Empire, is finding the balance there of fighting for the cause, but in a smaller community-based way, prioritizing protecting others rather than just constantly trying to fight against the Empire, while moving past the pure Jedi way and embracing attachments, battling and connecting with the dark side, and then possibly coming to terms with the Jedi, not getting everything right, and especially since with both of these characters, Bode and Dagon, Cal maybe having to come with the terms that, like, the Jedi as an entity might not have been great because they were the cause of both of our antagonists of the game and what led them down their dark paths. The Jedi falling during Revenge of the Sith is what led Bode to, you know, be this, like, weird undercover spy during the Clone Wars, and then, like, gave him the tool set to kind of just exist and survive and be low-key, and then use that for the ISB, and then... Dagon with, like, the complacency that he had to deal with in the High Republic era, and maybe Cal having to come to terms with that. I think that's a little bit more of the subtext of the game. Mm-hmm. I would have liked it to be a little bit more upfront, especially on the side of Dagon. But hopefully that is, like, more of a setup of other characters that Cal can meet in a future game, and kind of coming more to terms with. How do you find balance? We've seen it with other surviving Jedi, Kanan Jarrus from Star Wars Rebels, and other characters of what does a good person who used to be part of the Jedi Order, how do they exist in this time? And I really liked that stuff. And yeah, sorry, I went on a really long rant. And so
that's why people show up. They want to know what you're thinking and stuff. And I think that's one of the ones to jump off of, right, is the Danimal 96 writes in and says, how do you see Cal's story ending? I can talk about where I think the next game picks up. I think the next game picks up with him a bit lost, right, and probably going more and more throughout the game to the dark side. Mm. And I think then Marin brings him back alongside Bode's daughter, who I'm sure will be basically his adoptive daughter. Be his adoptive daughter by the time we get there.
Because, that's the kind of the last thing, like, Seer's last message to Cal at the very end of the game is, like, guide her through the darkness.
Yeah.
So
Do you think she's Force sensitive? You think that's where we're going with that too?
I don't know, but I think that was more of just like, hey, she's part of your community now, and she's going to be in a dark place, very similar to where you and Marin were as children, and that's something that they are trying to kind of figure out as well on their way to Bode. They're like, yeah, we got to kill him, but, like, you know, the people who protected us when we were kids also died, and then we were all also alone. That'd be an interesting way to take it. I think I'm not entirely sure, but I think there's definitely a lot there for Cal, more future foils for Cal and him struggling with the dark and light side. We talked about, I think, on a Games Daily post show. I think it would be really cool, and I doubt that they'll actually do this, but someone asked of, like, how would you bring back Starkiller into canon? Starkiller. Someone who kind of primarily starts.
Having your mics open, whatever you're doing there, we can hear.
Oh, sorry about that.
Starkiller in the Force Unleashed games starts off as
Sam Witwer. What up?
Yeah, primarily a dark side Force user, and then also has, like, the inverse of, like, struggling with the light side, and then eventually turning into light side. I think that would be a even if it's not Starkiller, but someone similar to that, I think would be like a really cool mirror for Cal in the future.
What if it went the other way, right? Mm. I could see that being of like, we open up, Cal's again, you know, however many years have passed, he's gone more and more to the thing. We play as Cal, we're super powerful. We make that choice, we do the thing, whatever, you know, MacGuffin, blah, blah, blah. We hurt Marin, we kill Marin, whatever, through our actions, and then we actually pick up at the,
he's
you know.
He's doing the Anakin Skywalker thing.
Kata, right? Like, she has to, she is force sensitive. She escapes or stops him long enough to do whatever she does, and then the game picks up, you know, for the rest of it, probably the, you know, what I would say probably 3/4 of it, right? We pick up as her now, and it's her story, and we are learning the things
that
to go stop him.
That bums me out too much. I don't want to see that for Cal. I love my
Is
fucking...
Star Wars a giant bummer, though? You know what I mean?
It is, and that's another thing, too, of, like, what could be set up for the sequel is, you know, something that's introduced in this game, and I forget where else it's talked about outside of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, of the Hidden Path, which, at least for me, that was, like, my first big entry point of this kind of... underground group of people who are helping force-sensitive people kind of find a new home hidden from the Empire. So I thought that was like a cool little tie-in to that. And my question is like, all right, if Tantalor is like the base for the Hidden Path moving forward, like, what happens there in like a lore sense and a story sense?
Cameron
like,
Kennedy writes in and says, the recently announced movie about Rey trying to rebuild the Jedi Order is set 15 years after Rise of the Skywalker, putting it around 59 years after Survivor. This movie will release almost certainly years before a third Jedi game, and Cal would be in his 80s, so this doesn't feel like the sort of any sort of crossover point. It's always technically possible that during the events of all these movies and shows and everything we've seen in the time gap, that Tantalor has had a thriving population. But let's be real. Tantalor was kind of fucked, right?
Yeah.
Where are they going with this? By the nature of this being a prequel series, has this always been a story setting up Cal for failure? What is Reese Chabon trying to say?
You know, it would be like, you know, it would be a very interesting thing to go with is like, what if, you know, they succeed with getting everybody to Tantalor? You know, Grease opens up another bar there. My boy Turgle finds another shell up there. All that stuff. And, you know, they do a little bit of like, hey, like we have some other Jedi here. We're training a little bit. And then once they feel safe enough to go out and explore and see what's up with the Empire, it's already been done. It's after the fall of the Empire. And
they come out and they're like, oh shit, you guys did this without us?
And that's a very interesting thing. And that's something that like other Jedi have had to kind of struggle with in other shows, similar to like Ahsoka and other kind of younger Jedi who were kind of in like very early developmental days, kind of thrust into this war and being generals of like thousands of clone troopers and all of this stuff. And then coming to terms with like after this war of like, who are you now? Like, what does it actually mean to be a Jedi in a time of not complete peace, but not in a time of complete all-out war? And I wonder if that's another interesting aspect of, you know, Cal's gearing up to fight, and they leave Tantalor. It's like, Luke already killed the Emperor. Darth Vader is no longer here. The remnants of the Empire are being cleaned up. What does that mean for Cal, who is only really known kind of like a time of war and then a time of secrecy of like what like existing in that era of like the New Republic and all that stuff? I think that could be something interesting. But yeah, I don't know where they go with it. Like, I really hope it doesn't end in devastation where, you know, the Empire gets through and just blow it up or some shit. But knowing that it doesn't really cross paths in a major way in the original trilogy, or we don't really hear about it, at least in like the sequel trilogy or anything, it'll be interesting to see how they put it in like the weird jigsaw puzzle that is Star Wars.
Yeah, it's always such a weird one, right? Because the galaxy is so big that you could always give it plausible deniability that, yeah, these Jedi were operating in this little thing over here, right? Yep. And it wasn't a big deal.
Or there's like a different entity that they have to then take care of, you know, like there's so much wild space that has been unexplored. And I know that's another different concept. Wild space is essentially where Thrawn came from. He was not part of the Galactic Republic all the time. He kind of like found his way to the Galactic Republic. And I think it was the Empire by that time. I forget. The timeline's a little fuzzy on that end. But maybe there's a different entity that they have to like fight against, and that takes them away from the whole Galactic Republic, New Republic, Empire stuff. So, I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see, everybody. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. One of the things I wanted to do was, you know, in the review, I had mentioned this moment that I was late to the meeting with Tim. I put down the controller. Many people have guessed it correctly after playing the game. But Leiter writes in and says, what was the big moment Greg was talking about in the review? The moment he said made him late to a meeting and was such a big and fun gameplay moment that he would remember it forever. Thanks for all you do. That was Cal, with the help of Marin, escaping from the big old drill, right?
Yeah.
Where you're...
Which, please, if you're in the live chat or if you're watching later, can you please leave a comment? I swear we've seen this big, weird drill before, and I can't for the
love... In another game or in Star Wars? Or...
In another Star Wars thing, and I can't for the life of me figure out what we've seen this in before, whether it's the Clone Wars show, maybe Bad Batch, I don't know. I was trying to search it, and I'm trying to, like, Star Wars... mining drill, and I'm not getting anything, so please let me know, because it looks familiar as hell.
Yeah, for me, hold on. Clone Wars, those drills attack Kamino.
Oh. Okay.
There you go. Thank you very much, Tyler, for being in the live chat and setting us straight on that. For me, it was just the best, like, build up to it, and then it happened. You didn't know it was happening, right? Because Cal and Marin are walking, and she's like, you can't fly, can you? And he's like, not yet.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think, oh, we'll be getting a cool dash. So we'll do something like that. And then, you know, to build, and then, you know, the kiss or whatever, and do you trust me? And then to be off to the races, this music, this drill, it's smashing. It's cutscenes into playing, into this new mechanic, into warping, and you're falling, but you're flying. And it was like such a, like, this is fucking incredible. It was such a perfect melding of everything that is this game.
I talked about it in the review. There were moments that felt like, you know, part of the Uncharted kind of aspirations that they had from the first game.
It was
a moment like this that it felt fully realized.
100%. Sure. And I think this sequence was better than anything on Uncharted. Like, I mean, I've had a lot of great Uncharted moments, don't get me wrong, of the house falling and toppling and the Jeep and yada yada yada. I'm not saying Uncharted shit. I'm just saying this was, like, slack-jawed playing it.
Yeah.
And again, playing it, not just watching it. I think this could have just been a cutscene. It could have been a couple things, but it was like actually going through and doing it and having it catch me off guard. Like, that's what I, you know, love about this series, and now that it's two games, right, is the things that catch me off guard, right? At the end of Fallen Order, when Vader showed up, I had long since been like, oh, Vader's not going to... They're doing their own thing.
We have enough Inquisitors.
They're doing their own thing. They're not going to bring it back to something that, you know, Joe Schmo mainstream Star Wars guy like me would know. And then when she gets your... And it was like, this is the coolest shit ever, right? And so even this time around where I was like, I wonder if we'll see Vader. I'm like, it wouldn't make sense for this. And then, like, the fucking introduction of Vader in this for Seer, like, oh my God, BD-1, take this and get out of here. You know what I mean? Go. You have to promise me you'll go.
To bring it back to the Marin and Cal smoochy smooch moment.
Smooch smooch!
How'd you feel about that? I'm very interested.
I loved it. You know what I mean? Like, again, as somebody who is a Star Wars outsider, somebody who, you know, just watches the films or whatever and the show here or there or whatever, and, like, you know, Poe was obsessed when we were growing up. Like, for what I am to comics and Superman, like he was for that. We'd have these things, and we're just like, but why can't they fuck? Like, that sounds stupid. That's a dumb rule. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
I mean, maybe they can fuck, but they just can't be attached.
They can't have their attachment. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. So it's like, you know, I find that so interesting about what they're doing with Cal, right? Where it's like, you know what, let's have this character who's existing outside of the traditional order, and we can have these different, set them up in these different situations to actually play off of things we already know but don't know. And then how would you feel if the order was dead? Everybody's gone. You're doing this thing. You know what I mean? Like, even the hidden path, right, isn't the same thing. And it's like, I thought it was a great real thing. You know, I don't take offense to it, but I do rebuff the, oh, he's like Aloy. I don't think he's like Aloy at all. I think the first game is very much a shell-shocked young boy who's then cast into having to be a survivor, not even though I don't say it as much as they do in this game,
but also cast to be like the leader of this next generation of Jedi,
right? Yeah, all that pressure, you don't know what's going on anywhere else, you don't know what's happening to the Force users. Like, I thought they did a good job of giving him that big, like, I'm thrust into this thing in Fallen Order, and fuck, I have to do this, and I have to, and I think that's why the journey to making your lightsaber and walking out of that cave and being like, I am a fucking Jedi, was so powerful. And I think, again, it's why it's so powerful here of I've been, you know, geez, grease, we've been doing this, and I feel like I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, the crew I was just running with was all murdered. Yep. I only got Bode as a friend. I'm exhausted. I'm tired.
And I just met up, like, hours ago.
To, like, line up and have, okay, cool, I'm going to have this honest moment. And, like, as happy as I was to see Marin again, right? Like, I think, again, going through in the way the game does the whole let's get the band back together thing, I thought was really well done. And it was done in a way that I was like, you know what? Not that I forgot, but I, you know, for since 2019, the Fallen Order, it's just you and me going greasy money, baby. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
greasy
kind of forget it. Why did I love? Oh yeah, when they did that, that was great. Why did I love Grease? And like, why do I? And, oh, see, I remember Sierra, but like, well, and he's like, oh, you get back in the flow of this. Like, yeah, what's going on with these people? Yeah. So to see Mirren, to be excited for her, and to see her open up, and the way her relationship has evolved with Grease, mm-hmm. like, I thought that was all really well done. And so yeah, I want him to find love. You know, I always got, my parents used to always not make fun of me, but like, you know, give me a hard time and still talk about it. I'm like, oh, when you had an action figure, you always wanted them to have a significant other. You always wanted them to be, you know, Superman had Wonder Woman. You know what I mean? You wanted a Janine figure for Ghostbusters. Like, it was like, yeah, like, I want to see people happy. So yeah. I the problem with this, especially if you're dealing with a trilogy, is to set them up for happiness now means we will not be happy with that next game, I'm sure.
Yeah, but. And there's an interesting little conversation that they have post-credits. They, like, if you're just, like, traveling around, you can just randomly talk to the early, right? group. Yeah. Like soon after the credits roll, and yeah, Cal,
we can't go back to what we were before.
Yeah, right? Like, I don't want to go back to what we were before. And Mirren also is like, yeah, I don't think I can do that either. For me, I really liked it in the moment, and I like seeing them together. I think, and there's going to be a similar kind of story with a lot of the stuff in the second half of the game. I wish it was built up to a little bit more for that moment that left me, like, after the moment happens, and you go through the whole gameplay sequence, and then I have, like, a moment to breathe. I'm like, wait, I feel like I could have gotten more of Marin's side of building up to that kiss with Cal. We get a little bit of it where, like, they had to, you know, find shelter from the sandstorm, and you know, they're getting all cuddly, and she's kind of paying attention to him while he's having nightmares.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she comforts him.
But then, you know, you have that, but then you leave Mirren for like 5 hours, and then you come back, and then that moment happens, and it felt like a little bit of like, oh,
I kind of like narratively, right? Mm. Because it is that idea of they see each other again, then they're separated again, and she has time to wrestle with it off camera. Yeah. Like, we don't get her side, like you're saying, but it is that thing of like, fuck, I missed him.
And
I don't want to miss my shot.
Yeah, and I like that we do get to see, and this is like the weird thing where it's a video game, you have to, especially like in a typical way of telling a story through a video game, you can really usually only do it through one character. But I like in the aftermath of it, it's not like after they kiss, like, oh, we figured it out, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. It's something he has to wrestle with, and like, they don't have a conversation about it until the night before the Empire comes to take down the Hidden Path. And so I like that he has that, like, yeah, I've been thinking about this and having to internalize that. Which I did like. I liked that it wasn't just like an unspoken thing for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I also liked that, you know, he it's a nice little callback to A New Hope, where he asks for luck, and for she luck? Knows no. She goes no for me. Yeah. Especially in that moment where it's like, we're about to do some crazy shit. Who knows if we're gonna make it out alive?
Yeah. And I enjoyed too, like, you know, getting then from Bode, like, you know, him giving Cal shit about it, right? Of like, she likes you, you know, like, oh, she's not just here because X, Y, and Z, like, you know, being your bro about it or whatever.
And it's really messed up. There's the Bode Akuna Force Echoes that you can collect after credits.
So many.
I have not found all of them, which is I'm starting to wonder if where those last few are. But there's one that you find where he puts together of like, they've got some romantic feelings. Maybe I can exploit that.
Yeah, which he's something like, I'm so stupid, like love. That's what I'll use against him or whatever.
God.
Yeah. He had to do it for his daughter.
Right? I also
fucking love Joel so much. You must love Bode.
Yeah. And what was the other thing? Right before the big kiss moment, I love it, especially because Cal is always trying to save everybody.
Yeah.
Where the Hidden Path member is crushed, and then he tries to use the Force to lift him up, and Marin's like, Cal, he's gone. Get out of here. Like, we got to protect what we can right now.
Yeah.
And there's a couple moments like that. Like, the Sierra also tells Cal, like, hey, this has already happened. It's like, you can't fix it already.
You mentioned earlier when we were going in there, you liked Doc. I always want to say Dagan, of course, because I only know one other person who spells her name like this is Colin's brother Dagan. But what is it? Dagan.
I think.
Whatever. But you mentioned, you know, you liked both him and Bode, obviously, being the antagonist and stuff like there. Parks writes in, of course, just like you could have and still can for other shows, kindoffunny.com/gamescast, and says, At what point during the gameplay did you realize Dagon Gera wasn't the final boss? I had beaten him, was back on the archive on Jeddah, and had this pit in my stomach. Something was about to go horribly wrong.
Immediately. That's why I wrote in my recap of, like, Dagon's gone, but the vibes are immediately off.
Right.
And because of that boss fight, I had texted you right when I got to it, because at that point you were a little bit ahead of me, and I was like, my theory is that because Dagon is using weird force like stuff to kind of warp what people are seeing, my theory was that he actually had us kill Bode, and he was disguising himself as Bode to still get to Tantalor.
Yeah,
because he
and then I
recognized...
almost totally blew it for you, because I was like, yeah, I thought about that too. I'm on Bode's tail right now, like thinking like you were like further than you were. So, yeah, I'm about to fight him. Like, ooh, okay, sorry, oops.
And so. Yeah, I knew that, like, okay, the story isn't over here, because this feels like we're even with him dead, I was like, there's still so much story left that needs to be told here.
Well, that was my thing, right, where it's like, you know, when did you know? Like, I knew once we murdered him, of course, but it was like the idea that I've talked about it on Greg Way of, you know, when I thought I had a game-breaking bug, but it turned out it wasn't, but I was frustrated. It was right outside the fight with him. And it was like, okay, you know, you're trying to get up here, and you know, Bode's like, all right, we're gonna get up there, and that's gonna be fucking, we gotta go. I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to go. But I remember on the build up to it, it said like, get up there and confront Dagon, and I was like, I already confronted him once. This is lame that they're gonna have me do it again
twice at that point. Sure, that was the interesting thing too, where it felt like I wasn't near the end of the game, and it definitely felt like they were pacing Dagon out the same way that they paced out the second sister in the first game, where it's like you fight them essentially at the very beginning of the game, you fight them a second time and they're a little bit more beefed up, and then you fight them a second time to show how much you've grown as a player and Cal's abilities, and then you fight them a third time to fully take them out. And I was like, when we got to that third fight, I was like, we're here already?
When it popped off, I was like, all right, cool. Like, somebody's going to stop me. Something's going to happen. And blah, blah. Yeah. So like, when you fucking kill him, I was like, what the? And I was very cognizant of how much story I had left. This was in the run-up to review and the embargo, so I was checking trophies, and I knew that I had, you know, three hidden ones still, or whatever it was, four, and one of them was like, complete the game. So like, I killed him. I'm like, well, this can't be it. And you went back, and you're talking about vibes being off. I was like, oh no. Yeah. Like, they're all doing the victory lap shit, and I'm like, to the credit, like, I didn't know what was going on. Nate says, did y'all see the Bode reveal coming? I thought something was definitely fishy with him, but I didn't anticipate the betrayal, much less the force sensitivity.
Right after you killed Dagon, and he's like, do you really want to use Tantalor for the hidden path, dude? Like, come on, bro. And then he's like, I'm going to stay behind. You go ahead. I'm immediately like, again, in that moment, I think he's Dagon pretending to be Bode, but still, I was like, fucking Christ, man, this is gonna be rough.
Yeah, I knew something was wrong, obviously, when we killed him, and I knew there was more game, but I got back there and we were all being, it was way too happy an ending, and I was like, uh-oh, and I didn't see Dagon happen, and then what I really didn't see was a force sensitivity, where it was that you started fighting him, and you're, well, first off, we haven't talked about it because of spoilers, but like, another incredible mix sequence of cinematic gameplay, where it was like,
you're getting on the speeder.
Earlier, I had started. I forget what happened. I was like exploring, looking for shit, and I found the speeders over there. I was like, "Oh, this is really cool." And I'm like, oh, "I can't get on them, whatever." So like, you go, and then it's like the fucking fight, and you're running, you're doing your scene. And I was like, "This is incredibly awesome." But eventually, when you got to where you caught up to him, and he's on the jetpack, and you're brawling in the air with him, I'm like, "This is cool," but like,
I feel like I should rip his face off or whatever.
Yeah, it's so like when it lands and he goes, goo, and he's like, and like, you're not the only one who survived. I was like, oh my god, that's awesome. Because it was like, okay, sure, Bode's a bad guy, I can see that, but I didn't see that part coming of being a Sith. Is he technically a Sith? He's a bad Jedi, but he had the red saber, but he wasn't like all like.
Yeah, he's a Jedi who's also, you know.
Does that make you a Sith, or do you have to like swear to the Sith?
Yeah, you gotta. If the Sith are like, you gotta like come through us if you want to really be a Sith. It seems like he's more of a dark Jedi type of vibe, and he's just someone who's trying to exist, because he's not even really loyal to the
anybody,
ISB or Vader or anybody. He's really just trying to look out for number one. And so I feel like he's just at this point, he's not even Jedi or Sith. He's just like at this point a forced user, which I did really enjoy, because it called back to a little bit of Malakos from the first game, who landed on Dathomir and kind of was like one of the big bads, but not the big bad, but was, I think, a better foil for Cal in many ways, of like, it just happened to be on the planet they landed on that kind of led them down the path that they did during the time of the Empire.
There's a conversation going on over here. Cameron Kennedy says the Red Saber, he was Daggins, you think? Is that right? I thought that was...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no. So
He did yank it off him at one point, didn't he?
So when he tells Cal, go on ahead, he's taking Daggins' lightsaber. That's one of the Force Echo locations. You go back there, and he's like, I'm taking this thing. So that's Daggins'
lightsaber. That makes more sense, because I was like, oh, he bled his saber and did all the stuff, and yada, yada, yada. Okay. Interesting.
So
I appreciate that. So... Were you? You said you liked Dagon as an antagonist, and we like Boda as an antagonist.
On paper,
that's my thing. Where it's like, when I beat Dagon, and it was done there, and I was in Revis before that, it was like, oh, this is weird. And it was that like, where are we going now? What are we doing?
I think where the game fails, and this is kind of the structuring of the first half of the game, which is why I think, like, I would also rate Fallen Order a 4 out of 5 great, but for different reasons.
Sure.
And I think, you know, you have the Dagon fighting him 3 times, very similar to the Second Sister. You barely see the Second Sister throughout the first game, but when they bring her in, it's always for a big story beat, you know, like her finding Cal on Bracca, and then the second time it's her revealing that she's Seer's former Padawan. And then the third time it's to get the holocron, but then also her kind of realizing how far down she's fallen down this darkness and is telling Seer and Cal, avenge us, right? And that's like her big, like, kind of not full redemption, but just like an acknowledgement of how much she's lost herself. Whereas I don't think we get that powerful kind of thing with Dagon, especially in like the second and third time that we see him, really. I think it's a powerful first time that we meet him.
Sure.
Him coming out. It's been hundreds of years, technically. It's been probably moments for him, right? Where
he's pissed.
he just feels what has happened to him, and immediately bleeds his lightsaber, which awesome. in the moment, first time playing, I was like, this is weird. But then when you kind of see his full story, where you're going up to the High Republic ruins and seeing like how much he's lashing out against the Jedi Order, I was like, in full context, that makes a little bit more sense. And so, I don't think they do a strong enough thing for him in his second and third encounter to really make it, like, meaningful. Like,
he was
even
just cool.
He was cool. And even Malakos in the first game, right, you technically only meet 3 times, but 2 of them are just, like, really short, quick encounters. And then the third time is when you fight Malakos and he reveals, like, I'm a fucking sick-ass Jedi and we're going to fight and all this stuff. But they felt significant enough to... kind of reflect on Cal of where he's at, and they kind of do a little bit of like telling us that like Cal sees himself in Dagon, but I just don't think they fully sold that in any like substantial way, which was a little bit disappointing for me. And I wanted to leave this game being like, all right, I'm fully sold on the High Republic stuff. I got to start reading these books and these comics. I didn't, you know. It was like a cool, again, on paper, and I think there's some ways that they succeeded with, you know, having Dagon reflect where Cal is at, of being an extreme, you know, being fully for this cause no matter what kind of thing, and Cal having to reflect that on himself. But in terms of Dagon as a character in and of himself, I feel like it was a lot of shortcomings there.
Yeah, it was. I thought he was one note. You know what I mean? Even going back and listening to the echoes and seeing what was happening, I'm like, okay, I get it. But it was like, but then the fact that he's not even really the... I guess he is, but he isn't the big bad guy, right? Like, I don't feel like he's just in our way more than anything, right?
Exactly.
And I think, you know, one of the questions we have here is from Nate, which is favorite boss battle. Like, Dagon's isn't, but he is, like, when he throws you on the roof and then he turns around, or the ceiling, and then comes up on the ceiling, I was like, it was another moment where I'm like, this is awesome.
And then he makes like 2 copies of himself, and like, I think even before that, right, he like uses the Force to kind of hide Bode from us, but then when you stagger him, Bode kind of like gets through the Force, which might be a little bit of a clue in of like, how is Bode able to like get through Dagon's Force powers there and like shoots him a little bit? I really loved that sequence. It was so like, at least like gameplay and visual, it was just like really, really epic and cool.
For favorite fight though, what would you give it?
That's a tough one. Vader is up there, because I think Vader is definitely by far the hardest boss in the game.
Agreed.
But I do really like the final encounter. That Bode final encounter with Cal and Marin, just because it all feels like it's really coming to a head of these two Jedi who have like have kind of lost themselves a bit and have ended up on different trajectories because of that. But yeah, that Vader sequence, we got to talk about it. It's so tragic and sad, man.
Sure.
I know some people in the comments or in the live chat were saying like, oh, Vader feels this kind of Vader just pops in and out. But that's just kind of his thing, you know, like he's, you know, if he gets a call of like, hey, there's this underground group of people trying to help out Jedi. And then if you're Vader of like, well, I lost another Inquisitor like a day ago. And if like if there's potentially multiple Jedi here, I should probably be the one overseeing this operation rather than one of my Inquisitors who keeps fucking dying. Right.
See, I appreciate, too, that he's not after Cal. Like, that's not the objective. His objective is to get there, destroy the archives, destroy all this Jedi stuff they have, and then Seer's
bounce.
There.
Yeah. Well, and because he kills Seer, he's in his head, he's probably like, yeah, that's probably it. And
well,
then
that was one of the things I was trying to talk to, you know, my favorite thing about a video game I love or moments I love is waking up the next day or at dinner the next day trying to explain it all to Jen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you gotta understand, like, the fight itself's cool. It was super awesome to play as somebody. I didn't see us playing as Seer, at least not that
Right?
So I was like, that was rad. That was cool. You know, you're using the powers in these giant mobs early on. But then the build up to get it, send BD away. Well, I've been waiting for this moment. And to get in that fight, and then, you know, it's what I talk about, like WrestleMania and Cody, or the Elimination Chamber and Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns, where I'm like, I know Sami won't win this. I know Seer won't beat Vader. That just, we know time is broken.
She fucks him up, though.
And that was my thing, right? Of like, when he finally just, by the skin of his teeth, right, stabs her. And she's like sitting there about dying and like trying to, and he stumbles away grabbing the wall.
Doing the,
and I was like
that, like
awesome.
Throughout the fight, right? Like, I think in his like third phase, that's when he does like the deep breathing from his voice modulator thing. And I'm like, hell yeah. Cause halfway through, I was like, I feel like he should start like doing the really like concerned Vader breathing. And I was like, I wonder, like, are they gonna do that? And then like the next moment, I'm oh yeah, they're doing it.
Like he's fucking crushed under the fire, and he comes up and his cape's on fire.
Yeah, she thinks that like maybe it's done in that moment, but has an inkling that it's probably not. And yeah, it's that moment really. If we're talking about heavy moments that brought a tear to my eye, being Sad Boy Barrett, right? It was Seer. Kind of having to...
If I can stop you.
Oh, yeah.
The Bustelo Master writes in to kindoffunny.com/gamescast, just like you can, says, I find myself tearing up playing games more and more as I get older. Watching Seer come face-to-face with Vader and hearing Seer's theme blended to get her with Vader's theme while knowing full well that this likely wouldn't be an encounter she survived was just one of several moments that did this to me this time around. So my question for you guys is, did you tear up at all? And if so, when and how often? Do you guys end up crying during your games? For me, it feels constant. So this got you?
This moment got me of Cal finding Seer. Because again, like the way that they kind of edit it and like make it, the way the sequence plays out, right, is Seer gets stabbed and she's kind of like stumbling backwards. And then Vader's like, yeah, I got you. And is also like kind of stumbling away, which I love. And then she falls with the burning building, the burning archive around her, and she calls out to Cal, and then she calls out to Trilla. At the time where, as she falls, Cal like catches her, and in that moment, you're like, that's weird. I feel like he would have seen Vader walk away. I feel like he should probably be prioritizing like fucking up Vader.
Yeah.
And then the kind of realization of very quickly the fire around her turns to ash. And like the realization of like he did not show up there as Vader was walking away. This is much later, and he's feeling it through a Force echo. And he sees the moment of her being alone, calling out to her two Padawans, was fucking heartbreaking. And I'm blanking on Cameron Moynihan plays.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't get that incorrect. His performance of holding her and just crying and losing another Jedi Master was just absolutely heartbreaking. It was hard to watch both times, but I absolutely loved that moment. That's like, that sequence is the highlight for me, for sure.
I didn't tear up during this, which, you know, I cry all the time for a million different reasons and a million different things.
Yeah.
And it's not because I wasn't emotionally invested in the game. It was the fact that I feel, and I said this with the, you know, Mirren moment and everything else, but in general, I feel like this is what it must be to be Tim watching Fast and the Furious, where I was just so in, but I was in grinning even when it was bad stuff. Like, supposed to come off the high of that fight. Yeah. Like the level of action and cinematography they did there. Yes, I was like, oh man, she's dead. That's sad. But look at fucking Vader hyping away. And then it was, oh, he's there, but it's like, oh man, it's sad, but it's cool.
I'm just so emotionally.
I wasn't dialed into these characters to the point of like, I'm feeling their feelings.
I'm so emotionally invested in Cal as a character that like,
love him, dude.
It really hurt me to see him struggling with another dead master. So that was just like, god damn, I just want my boy to be happy, please.
What hurts me is when people don't make me happy by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you could be watching the show live just like Felipe is, Matthew is, and Cameron are. You could be talking to other best friends. You could be pulling the show like they have been. You could be doing all that stuff. But if you wanted to get it later, of course, you could get it ad-free. You could get dozens and dozens of monthly exclusive episodes. You get exclusive merch. It's all on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But most importantly for right now, you could get all our shows ad-free. But since you're not there, here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Honey for sponsoring this episode. Honey is the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. And we all know there's nothing better than the feeling of saving money. Honey's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Here's how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button appears and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as the Honey guy dances. It searches for coupons it can find for the site, and if it finds a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. We here at Kind of Funny have been using Honey for years, and it has literally saved us thousands on tech, costumes, food, you name it. Honestly, I just love how easy it is to set, forget, and save. Honey doesn't just work on desktops, it also works on your iPhone. You just activate it on Safari on your phone, save on the go. And if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. By getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there, you could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kind of Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We would be remiss not to talk about this. Asian Jared writes in to kindoffunny.com/gamescast and says, thoughts on Rick the Door Technician and his brave sacrifice for the Empire.
What a great moment, man. I love that in our embargoed things.
They're like,
that
don't talk about Rick the Door Technician.
They specifically know, do not mention Rick the Door Technician. And I don't know if this is a callback to anything or just like another. If it was just a silly goof that they're just like, this would be funny, right? Where he's like, I'm the only one left in this base. It's time to take
I'll
you
stop
out.
You.
And he gets the full boss health bar and you take him out just like a regular enemy. And it's... It was a very good chuckle. Especially after a very intense fight where you enter that base and you're fighting off against all the big Dark Trooper robot dudes.
Yeah.
And like there's waves of like the rocket enemies and the Gatling gun enemies. It was just like a nice little like, that was fun. That was nice.
Yeah, one of the things, like I thought when that happened, it got the audible laugh out of me. I enjoyed the joke and the gimmick. And I think for me, stepping back even further, as you know, us being critics of these games and, you know, talking about them on such a different level, I think honestly that was really like a great sign of like, man, Respawn got to make the game they wanted to make.
Yeah, they're having fun with it.
Fallen Order, you know, you got, there's so much pressure of, we're Respawn, we're not known for single player open world games. We're trying all this different stuff. We need to make
First time working with Lucasfilm.
We need to prove we can do a Star Wars game. Yep. And they fucking proved it. And so this time it was like, let's go bigger, let's go better, and let's have some fun with it and put that kind of stuff in.
And that was something I was going back and forth with. Shout out to the devs who were very attentive to my Platinum journey, thinking that some things were bugged. Maybe they weren't. And then there's a, I'm blanking on the name, but there was a dev who vaguely tweeted out like a possible solution to a very obscure collectible that everybody was struggling to get, and it was the reason that no one had the Platinum until Nano got it. And so after like we went through all that, and I was like, oh, I got this collectible, one of the devs responded of like, yeah, we got, it was our second go around, like we got weird with it. And I really love that, not in just, you know, the story moments of Rick the Technician, but then also the, yeah, like the finding the collectible that you have to get out of a specific Neko poop, you know, and to get them in the stable. There's the very weird, like having to put together through environmental storytelling of like, oh, there's more Jedi temples that you can go to figure out these puzzles. And then, oh, there's these seven screens. And at the beginning of the game, they're all red. But then when you go back to that in a story moment later, you're like, wait, some of them are green. And then you're like, wait, I don't have all the Jedi temples yet. What's going on here? And then you can look on the screens of like, oh, that's a vague area of where this Jedi temple is. And then you find the seventh one, like this is the spoiler cast, so I'm not too worried about talking about it. But I, like, the night I found this final seventh Jedi temple, I was texting you of like, I think I know where this screen is telling me to go. And then it was like the moment clicked of like, oh, the screen is showing me the High Republic ruins when you kind of first use the orbs to beams to like get away of like the abyss matter or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, all of that.
And then you use the birds to kind of like go up these gusts of wind.
Yeah,
and that's where you find one of the weird Kobo Abyss like wayfinder things, and you get the memories of Dagon killing other Jedi. There's one of the cube elevators that you'd usually find to go down into a Jedi temple is there, but it's all like messed up and broken. And there's like, if you go to that cube, there is a force tear there. And I thought that was it. And then going back later, I was like, this is the area for sure. And if that's the thing that takes me down to the temple, but it's broken, there's got to be something under there.
Yeah.
And so it's not shown on the map because they're trying to be like very like secretive about it of like, oh, there's a cliff near there. Oh my God. And I get down to the cliff. It's like, oh, but there's like the weird Kobo abyss matter that's like, you know, blocking me from this door. How do I get, oh, there's the beams outside and like using that to like open up the door. It's like, holy crap.
That's awesome.
The amount of just like weird environmental things that they did in this game was sick as hell. And again, like to take it back to what I think Kevin is talking about of why this is a 5 out of 5 amazing for him, of just the pure exploration and all that stuff. Is a 5 out of 5.
So much fucking fun.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So sorry, I just went on a big old rant there.
It's going to get into a question, but yeah, I mean, to double back down on that, like again, like, you know, early on when it was like, you know, the first hours of that game where it was, I was playing and I was like, man, I forgot how much of a Greg-ass game this is. Just climbing up the wall Uncharted style, getting over there. Wait, what's that over there? You run over there, you find a cool secret, you find a cool like costume piece, whatever. I think this is probably what it's going to be. But Darren writes in, Takanafunny.com/gamescast, just like you can. It says, longtime listener, first time writing in. Congrats on getting the Platinum, Barrett. Were there any trophies that gave you a hard time? I would love to hear any tips as I am halfway towards getting it myself.
Yes, there's and I related it to the Arkham City Riddler trophies.
Sure.
Which is, there's a few different shops that you can collect currency for. Thankfully, you don't have to buy all of the items from all of the shops. But Doma, who's the kind of the lady kind of running the town over on Kobo, you have to buy everything from her shop, meaning you have to find every piece of priorite. And there are definitely some priorite that are hard to find. Like I mentioned, you have to get a Neko from a very specific area of the map on Kobo to then take it to the stable and have it parked in a specific stable and then eventually after a couple of minutes it'll poop, and then you can interact with that poop to then collect a piece of priorite. And it's just like that very, and again, they got weird, they had fun with it, but it's just like a, that's not a fun trophy, you sure. know? But I did it, and the weird roundabout.
I was going to say you have a workaround, because over here, Cameron Kennedy says, man, this shop trophy is why I might not platinum.
So
tell them the fix.
Yeah, so the way that I decided to do it, and there's a couple, this is multifaceted here, right? There's a couple of cool BD1 upgrades that you can get by exploring. The thing that I talked about in our review, that weird dungeon I found, having to fight three mini-bosses all at once, but then it was different for you. At the end of that, BD1 gets an upgrade for showing, chests and all of that, like, on the map, so you know chest locations. There are similar upgrades for other things that you can also acquire for BD1. I think there is a upgrade that you can find on Jeddah that gives you the location of all collectibles, so priorite, other consumables that you can collect to purchase at shops. I think that's where that is. Or actually, maybe that might be the one where you have to do all 7 Jedi temples, and then there's a couple of them. Anyway, at the end of my first playthrough, I have a few dope BD1 upgrades that show me the locations where all the priorite is. And then naturally, because I'd beaten the game, it's like, okay, I'm going to have to go out of my way to collect all this priorite. But I decided to roll the dice. And I was like, I don't know how much is going to carry on in New Journey Plus, right?
Right.
We'll see. Do the collectibles reset, all of this stuff? Did New Journey Plus, and pretty much everything carries over to New Journey Plus. Some force abilities that you get through story beats aren't progressed through. You have to re-earn it's the air dash and then the force raise and then
the
force
stuff.
Lift and yeah, slam. Yeah. You have to regain through the story stuff, but everything else carries over. So the reason it took me 60 hours to platinum it and not a more normal time, Nano, I imagine, was closer to 40, was because I did New Journey Plus, played through the story again, so I could naturally go through and see on my map, oh, there's priorite in this story section. I'm going to go pick that up. And so, yeah, that was my little workaround, at least of motivating myself to go out and collect the priorite rather than oh, I got to go out of my way and go around here.
That's a really smart way. I'm going to save that a little bit and see what happens. And if it gets down to you need 10 or whatever, then probably roll the dice, go out and do things.
And shout out to the New Journey Plus stuff, because, a lot of New Game Plus things will make naturally enemies harder later on. That's all customizable for you. There's 10 perk slots, I think, in total that you can have as Cal. And the thing that they do with New Journey Plus is that the kind of different things that you can do are perks. So there's one that every time you die, you have a different loadout of customization for Cal, which I think is goofy. Another perk is a remix of enemy encounters, which I think also makes the replay harder.
Okay.
And then there's a third one. I forget quite what it's enemies give more damage, and I think you give a little bit more damage as well. But then you can perk those, so you can just do a full other playthrough souped up Cal, but then have it kind of be a more
That's
normal.
Awesome.
So it's there's a lot of variability there in how you want to re-experience the story. And because I was using that New Journey Plus to kind of get collectibles and just kind of re-experience the story, I just unperked those and went through other stuff. So
we're getting along on the tooth, Barrett.
We are.
I'm sure we've covered most of it.
Yeah.
But the one thing we haven't talked about is the bounty hunters. Because when you were I was is there anything I need to do that would help for the thing? You're do the bounty hunters. Make sure you get all the bounties done. And when you said that, I was it's got to be the man then. It's got to be Boba Fett.
Boba Fett!
And so it did. And when it got to the end where, of course, you do all the bounty hunters and then you go to turn in the last one. And what's her name? I forgot her name.
Cage.
Cage is gone,
yep.
But come meet me where we met the first time. And I was like, okay, and we got there, and we just go to fight. And I was like, oh, okay,
yeah.
This is kind of lame. I kind of tricked myself, oh, it's not going to happen. And then to have the Fett men walk in, even as me, somebody's not a Boba Fett, I was like,
super fan.
That's cool.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Quick warning on the New Journey Plus, because this is related to the Bounty Hunter stuff. I had a weird glitch where in my first playthrough. A
glitch in this game?
Yeah. Every time you go take out a bounty, you go check in with Cage, and she'll give you the kind of general location of the next bounty. So I got like 5 bounties in on my first playthrough, and then I started New Journey Plus. And instead of when I meet Cage and I pick back up that bounty hunter stuff in New Journey Plus, instead of it starting me off on the last bounty I was on,
yeah,
she skipped ahead to the next one. And so eventually it got to the point where I went back to her and she just wouldn't give me any more bounties anymore because the game was like, you've already done this one, but you technically haven't yet. So that was a weird thing I had to go back to on my first playthrough to like wrap up that trophy. So just be a little bit careful with that in the coming weeks and months when they're patching up this game. But yeah, that was such a cool moment of just like, because the bounty hunter stuff just felt like a, you know,
something to do.
The first game again, where it's like you're just randomly like running into these bounty hunters. I like that they give you more like, hey, they're probably around this area. They're around this area, which felt really cool to go out and do. I love the two sequences where they kind of repurpose areas of the map.
I got there. I'm like, oh man, I can't get any closer to it. Like on a thing. I looked at the regular map and I'm like, wait, no, there's warp points there. And I went back to my warp. I'm like, oh, fuck it or whatever. And I got there. I'm like, oh, okay.
I had that like, oh God, the game's glitching again. Where I'm like, I can't warp to this area, but then it kind of turns into like, hey, we're repurposing this area of the map into its own like little mini dungeon. You have to go out and like have this kind of big moment fighting against like a huge group of bounty hunters, which I thought was really cool. In the two instances that you do it. And then, to have it all end with Boba Fett coming in, which I thought was a little bit weird, where he's like, I'm not here for the Jedi who also has a bounty. I'm here for you.
He doesn't have that puck. He doesn't know.
Yeah, I guess. He doesn't have the puck. And I like that they tease that a little bit with Cage, where they're like, some of the bounty hunters are talking shit of like, yeah, she thinks she can just go off on her own, like all this stuff. I'm like, there's something up with Cage there. So
yeah.
Just wanted to shout out my boy Boba Fett. To wrap it up, do you have any last things that you want to shout
out? What a fucking game. You know what I mean? It's one of those, we have to move on so quickly sometimes. And so for me, you know, I played it, reviewed it, and then was right on to Redfall pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. And something in between there too, but it was like turning it on last night and jumping back into it and going like to really begin my platinum race now until hopefully before Zelda gets here. Just playing last night and like again, like I can't get over the little things of just how cool it looks every time you turn on that lightsaber. I'm like, this is so cool. And to be running with the lightsaber, I'm like, that looks so cool. And to be fucking people up, it's just like, this is so good. Like I've been surprised since last night was my first like really, you know, since the credits rolled, really first time jumping in. The amount of conversation, the amount of like landing on places, and you know, Bode's daughter's like, I don't want to come back here. I'm like, I understand, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
The Marin thing's this, you're talking to other people. I'm like, damn, this is really cool. That, like, and not to mention all the Bode echoes that are giving you glimpses into what he was doing. I'm like, this is so well done that the story and world still feel like they're going and expanding and exploring as I play.
Yeah, I like the building out of Kata kind of slowly becoming a member of the crew, talking to Grease, joking around with like, when can I fly the Mantis?
And like anytime, I'll teach you later, but not soon. Why did you say to one? I don't mind him doing it.
And I love, you've got like Marin and Cal being the weird kind of adoptive parents, and then Grease being like the weird uncle. Little uncle, you know? I like that, and I'm interested to see where they kind of go with that, because it is a very weird vibe of like, we just killed your dad, and now you're with us. It's a lot of media, I was telling this to Kevin off air, a lot of media has been doing that lately. Shout out to Buddy Daddies, shout out to Thor Love and Thunder. It's like a lot of media where it's like, we've killed your dad, now you're gonna hang out with us.
Earlier in the chat when we I think first started kind of talking about that, somebody called out that they had a hard time getting over that she would just be cool with that.
I think that's something that you could dive into.
One of the questions that we had but have kind of covered, but you know, whatever, was somebody asking like, you know, hey, this is, I think it was Nanobiologist, this game was this trauma, this game was that trauma, what do you think the next one would be? And I think it would be the resentment you feel naturally, right? Or because, like, I think you're a little kid and, like, you see your dad be bad or whatever, but these people are good.
She does recognize, like, he did. He was different after mom died.
Yeah, and so I think, but I still think there'll be something there for that, and especially if it's something like, I'm thinking they might toy around with of Cal going bad and somebody has to, you know, Marin has that great conversation with him in the game, right, of, like, when he's like, I saw Dagan do it, right, and I'm afraid of that, and she's like, we'd pull you back, you know what I mean? Like, she does, that happens in this game a little bit there at the end, but I think it could be a bigger thing and try pulling them back, and if it works or doesn't work, where that goes.
I want to do, to round out, just some quick hits of just the little moments that I liked. I love that when Cal finds Dagan, I think it's him doing the Force Echo on Dagan that wakes Dagan up, which I thought was really cool.
You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Let's see. The Cal, he's gone moment. Let's see. If you ever stray from your path, we will guide you back. Marin talking to Cal. And then Yeah, the ISB Inquisitor kind of infighting when you go to the ISB base, which is like really cool, where sure. the ISB head guy is like, wait, that operation is supposed to start for another month. The resentment between the ISB agents and the Inquisitors, which I think could be a little bit more fleshed out somewhere else, which I'm excited to see. Marin talking to Cal, and Cal's choking the ISB agent, and she's like, the Empire's taken enough from us. I'll not lose you too. Awesome. We're all in on you, Grease. Greasy does it, baby. Let it ride. Sierra, also another callback to A New Hope, where Luke's about to take out the Death Star, and Obi-Wan's like, use the Force, Luke. And you have a very similar moment now where they're trying to use hyperspace to get through the Kobo Abyss, and Cal's waiting, and you hear Sierra say, now. The funeral at the very end worked for me and didn't work for me. I love the effect of like Cal just kind of standing there, and you kind of see the passivity of time. The effect of them walking around quickly, I thought was really weird. Maybe it's a glitch where it doesn't look great on my version.
No, it was very like stop motion-y movie.
Yeah, it didn't do the full effect that I wanted it to, but I still love like him just kind of standing there. Sierra's kind of last message to Cal of guide her through the darkness. And then also shout out to the lullaby that Kata sings every once in a while with Bode. Alyssa was talking about that because she watched me play through it the second time. And she was like, it's real. Shout out to whoever like wrote that lullaby, because it's haunting, but very pretty. And feels nostalgic, even though it's not a lullaby from
our
galaxy.
Don't know it. Love
to that. And then also, you know, love to the fucking Big Daddy reference, Scuba Stiv, in this. Shout out to my boy Turgle. Shout out to just all the weirdness in this game that I did really enjoy. A 4 out of 5, great on my my opinion. On the same level of Fallen Order. I think overall I like Fallen Order story more. But I still really enjoyed where they went with Survivor, which was a big uphill battle for me personally. Of like, worry, you got to sell me on what we do next with Cal.
That's all I got. Still a 5 out of 5 for me. It's you know, awesome to be where we are right now and be like, I can't wait to get home tonight and play it. This game that I've beaten, but I want to still work on that platinum. And I look at the trophies and I'm like, I'm so excited to go after some of these and see what this leads to. And yada yada yada. Like, a really special game, everybody. Mm-hmm. Currently my front runner for Game of the Year.
Woo!
We'll see how long that lasts. big year here.
Trying to think what else has come out. It's this and Hi-Fi Rush.
Oh, wow. Nice. Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching this. No matter when you did, as you know, if you've ever watched a Kind of Funny spoiler cast before, I like to leave a code word in it. Because what will happen is, of course, hopefully months from now, maybe even December 2025, you'll watch this and somebody will do it and I won't even remember it. So if you are watching this, whenever you watch it, go ahead and tweet at me.
Muffin.
Easy does it.
Oh, easy does
Greasy,
it?
Greasy does it. Greasy does it.
Okay.
And then I'll know that you're watching this one right there. Remember, of course, the Kind of Funny Games cast comes your way each and every week on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get it, thank you for your support. Please like, subscribe, rate, share it. Leave a little ratings on Spotify. Leave a review on iTunes. It all helps us out. But what could help us out even more would be you. Going to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can watch us record the show You can watch us record the show live. I have to pee so bad. You can get the show ad-free. And, of course, you can get dozens and dozens of exclusive episodes of other content. No matter where you get us and hang out with us, thank you so much for doing it. Until next time, may the Force be with you.